Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Ashwini. Good morning, Ashwini.
Okay. Well, our assignment from yesterday was Life is uncertain. Eat dessert first. We want dessert because dessert is pleasurable, sweet, and enjoyable. It is possible always to have pleasurable, sweet, and enjoyable first in life if we do not confuse pleasure, sweetness, or enjoyment with content or food. Every moment to which we are present is pleasurable, sweet, and enjoyable. Today, have dessert first. Remember to RL whenever you notice the sweetness of presence.
Isn't that lovely?
So, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area.
Hey,
hello, Anne.
Hey,
How goes it?
Oh, it goes so fantastically well. I am just so enjoying all of the cumulative effects of the daily practice and all the other practice opportunities, and I find myself just, it's just amazing how they incorporate and rise up, and I'm having such a fun project stepping outside of the boundaries of habit and egocentric karmic conditioning and doing something new every day and then taking the lesson. I mean, it's just fantastic. Thank you so much for this practice opportunity. Fantastic.
So, and you're describing applied practice, right?
I guess so.
Because we could just, do practice, which means turn our attention to whatever, whenever it occurs to us, or we could actively pursue it the way I project you're describing, where I'm going to take this into new places. I'm going to pursue new things so that I can apply these practice tools and expand awareness and expand my life.
Yeah, and it's such a gift. And I particularly wanted to call in today because of the reading yesterday for two reasons. One, I just loved how I know that quote, and I just loved how it got turned on its head into process. And I was it was so wonderful to take a known quote and go, wow, I've never looked at that as process before. And then to think, what else in my life is there that I've never looked at as process? Because everything is process.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That's
big.
You've talked a lot with different people about the perfection of the timing of all of these. And so yesterday I was working with, life is uncertain, eat dessert first, really appreciate every moment. And I got an email last night that someone I know had died that morning unexpectedly. She had gotten a staph infection, and it went into her bloodstream, into her brain. And it was like one of those, And because I had that specific thing I'd been practicing with all day, that life is uncertain, there was a part of me that went, yes, life is uncertain, and aren't we blessed that we get to practice that and know that and realize that every moment is precious.
Yes, and for your friend, for all of us, the wish that we would be living in that awareness such that when our time comes, no matter how unexpected it is, we're ready because we have been present to and truly enjoyed the life that we've had.
Yes. Yeah. And the assumption we make that it's gonna be going, it's gonna last. There's more than now. That huge assumption
right.
we make.
Yeah. Yes. And the way you phrase it, there's more than now, tells us how very silly it is, right? There's more than now. nobody is encouraging us to believe that. Nobody.
Yes, and yet somehow even though we think we're not going to die, you know, that we think somehow yes. we're the exception, or I don't know, that reality somehow isn't with, I mean, well, that's what we're practicing, right? We're practicing to keep that in our conscious awareness that this very moment is all we have and is so incredibly precious.
Yes, but, and again, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, that place that we look at regularly when looking at these kinds of things, that it's that deadly combination of I'm never going to die, so I don't really have to live now. I'll live sometime in the future when everything comes together. And I'm terrified to live because something could happen to me. So the combination, you know, as a person fascinated with building, I like to compare that to a collar tie in a building. But a collar tie in a building holds things in and pushes things out so they stand up straight. That same process in our lives paralyzes us. So we want the building to be sort of paralyzed because we don't want it to just fall over. But when we apply those same principles to a human life, it's just being put in a straitjacket. Did that hang together? There was a lot of leaping around there.
No. It totally hung together. It's, you know, like the opposite pressures that keep conditioning firmly in place.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So don't do anything because you could die metaphorically, right? I mean, it rarely says, well, sometimes it says that. But it'll be so awful you can't stand it. Everything will go wrong. You'll lose everything. So don't do anything risky. But don't enjoy yourself because you enjoy yourself when you retire, when the kids go to college, whatever happens.
Well, and I don't know whether it was in Project Joy or in some other practice we had where we were practicing not procrastinating, but that's also what's arising for me, which I've also been keeping in the front of my awareness. So if I can do it now, do it now. Don't do it later.
Yes, if it drops in now, now's the time to do it.
Yes, that's a better way of saying it because sometimes it's not a doing. So, yes. And I also just have to say I was leaving this morning and I bowed to another pair of shoes and it was such a wonder. It was like I'm so grateful that I have the awareness to keep that practice up, to say thank you to everything. So I'm so grateful that we're doing this year-long practice. It's so inspiring, you know, to really encourage us and support us that now is it, and let's practice to the best of our ability. So thank you to everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're so welcome. And the thing that I really like about this process that we're doing is that it feels to me that we're making it fun.
Yeah.
You know, every one of these quotes brings us to an enjoyable, tasty, pleasurable focus, right? And so our days are just less bogged down with those negative voices and, as a result, happier.
Yes. Thank you, Sarah.
Very good. Thank you, Anne.
With today's quotes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Anne. I was on mute. Sorry, Sherry.
I thought we'd lost you. That was a bit of a moment of, I don't know what to do here. Yeah, good.
I love that collar tie in the building analogy and the what Anne said about how the twin forces of conditioning that keep it alive, the fear of death and the implicit belief in our invulnerability, and that the only out there is to be present.
Yes. Because here we realize it's finite. Here we realize this is our one and only chance to live. And we might as well live fully. And that doesn't mean, you know, you have to ditch the kids and run off to a South Sea island, which is how conditioning. Well, oh, sure. And so you're not going to be responsible and you're just going to be a flake. We're not saying that. All we're saying is be completely present and have the joy that is life, and then we'll see what life opens up for us.
Well,
we might get a transfer. We might get a transfer to that South Sea island, and the kids can come with us. Right? We don't know what's possible.
Yeah. Well, and it reminds me of the Zen story of the strawberry, right? That it's sweet precisely because it's in the moment caught between the mice and the tigers and everything else, that somehow or the other, there is a the experience of the sweetness that is finite is so exquisite that oftentimes the mind does not want to rest there.
Because it's a little
painful, but it's so beautiful.
Yes, it's all of those words, isn't it? It's poignant and it's sweet and it's
ephemeral.
Yeah. No, I won't try to. Ephemeral. I won't try to get through them all. But we all know what that is. And those are the moments when we've had those moments in our lives. Those are the ones that stand out. Those are the ones that we recall because we're so here. We're so alive.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Carol in San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Hi. Oh, I just want to say thank you real quickly. It's just been wonderful to have access to this every morning. And even if I can't be on for the whole call, it's just great to have connected and then go back and listen to it later. But just that connecting breaks something open too. So thank you.
It does. That is such a marvelous point. We just touch in. I, of course, we want to be with everybody as much as we can, as often as we can. Of course, that's the case. But we just touch in, and we touch that energy, and it changes everything for us.
It does. Yep. It's the same with recording and listening at the end of the day. I think I have nothing happened. And then just by doing it, something shows up. So, yeah, but I want to...
And if I may, the something that shows up is that you have a huge interconnected life. Like you've been going around all day long being a unique manifestation of life. And the voices in our head would say, nothing happened. Well, nothing happened for them because they weren't there. And they don't want to be there, and they can't be there, and so good. But for us to realize, I don't want them to assess my life. Because when we touch in with what really happened, start going through the interactions and the choices and what dropped in and how your heart felt and that sort of thing. It was a huge day, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I also wanted to comment on yesterday's assignment, the dessert, and then also the rebellion statements yesterday. And then somehow that ties into the ice water in hell from the day before. So I hope I can put that together.
I love it. Okay.
Okay. So let's see. So somehow in the rebellion talk, it goes together with doing your dessert first, okay, because it's my ego orientation, I guess, is, you know, real rule-oriented. So here we are. I'm back in a situation at work that back in May happened, and it was a perfect storm, and I'm only in a part of it now, but it came on last night. So the automatic response would be speed up, do more, and try to keep up, you know. Well, I've already been kind of running, but not at a gallop. And so the conditioning says, well, you need to get back, pick it up now. We got to get going and pick up the slack for this other person that left last night. And I did that in May, and it almost took me out. And so I have that to look at. And so the thought came in, well, dessert first. You have all this vacation time. Call in a couple hours this morning. Get yourself reoriented. And of course, that's contrary and rebellious to what conditioning says, which is, no, you have to, they're leaning heavily on you, and it's, this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
And so the process is what I'm watching. Onslaught, onslaught, you know, things come.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
I speed up, but I don't go all the way back down to zero and regroup. I only get to, like,
uh-huh.
mid-floor, you know. You have
uh-huh.
to get down to the basement,
uh-huh.
regroup, recharge, before you're going to go back up. But I don't see that because it's clouded by conditioning. So conditioning
uh-huh.
says, oh, you're fine. You're going out on the limb. You're fine. You got plenty. Your gas tank's full, and it's not.
And so, yeah, so that is such a great image, Carol. We do not want that negative voice in the head reading our gas tank. It lies. Yeah, good image.
Right. And so there it is. And that somehow ties into ice water in hell. Everybody wants ice water in hell, and everybody at my particular job, and probably everybody's, wants ice water, you know. So, well,
and
that
they
doesn't
want,
mean that I...
And you're the ice water, right?
Oh,
so
I'm the ice water. I thought I was
you
getting
take
it.
Care of me. Yeah, you take care of me. You fix me. You pick up the slack. You make this work. Do more for me. Do more for me. Do more for me. Do more for me. And when we're identified with conditioned mind, there is no amount that somebody else can sacrifice for us that we're not willing to take.
So when
we realize, hey, adequacy is what we have a chance to recognize. So this human being is adequate to life. All human beings are adequate to their lives. We're all equal to our lives. We do not have to sacrifice for anyone. It's not helpful except to conditioning. Yeah.
And in conditions way, the way that it would be is it's either, you know, the ping pong. It's, you can either, you know, block them and say, heck no, or you can throw yourself in and overdo. But there's this middle way that's going to be helpful to everybody, and that's going to help us all be adequate to rise to the occasion, not just me or someone else. We all can rise to
the
occasion.
That's right. So we can say to people, I love you like crazy. I know you can handle this, right? So we don't have to reject people. We don't have to be angry or hate them, but we also don't have to listen to that conditioning that says, well, it's up to me to save them, because basically the deep down belief is there's something wrong with them. They're actually not equal to their life, so they need me to ride in there on a white horse and save them. No.
Right.
We can sense in that image how much ego benefits and how nobody else does.
Oh, thank you for that. That's very, very helpful. Great.
Good.
All right.
Good.
Thank you.
So I'm picturing you having a wonderful, rejuvenating time in the basement.
And I'll come back up when I'm full.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Carol.
Very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye-bye.
It is a fantastic image. It really is. I mean, that conversation to me was so inspiring, like the conversation in the radio show, where it's so helpful when we come up against something that we are, that we need to be facilitated through, because that model of being facilitated is such a powerful learning process to know what we have to do for ourselves. How do we find the compassion?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's difficult.
It's difficult for us to sort out what is ego, what is conditioning.
Yes.
It's been running our lives for so long. And the point that Carol was making is that it often presents itself as the good, right person thing to do. That if you don't do that, well, you're just being egocentric. You're being selfish. You're an uncaring, unloving person. So that, you know, it's, again, the model of, that if you're drowning, you're out there with a bunch of people who are drowning, the first thing you want to do is make sure you don't drown. right? Yes. Because if you drown, you're just not going to be a help to anybody else. So how do you make sure you're not drowning and then start seeing what you can do for someone else?
Mm-hmm.
There's no obligation for us to drown, quote, in the service of others.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it's that discernment to be able to see when it's not, that's not taking care of the ego. And I think it's cruel that ego says that in the moment where it counts, we won't be able to take care of ourselves because we would be taking care of it.
Yes. Oh, that, now there is a subtle and important conversation to have, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's why we always, I mean, and I love your encouragement. The person who thinks that they're going to be arrogant or selfish is unlikely to be, because that's their orientation. But it's what ego uses, right? Oh, you'll be arrogant, or you'll have a big head, or you won't do
the right thing
when the chips are done.
Yeah, you'll be uncaring. Yeah.
Yes.
Probably not. The odds are really good not.
Yes, and that's the faith we need to have. It goes back to Anne's conversation about being present. Because when we're present, we train ourselves to know and calibrate to life's intuition instead of ego voices. And when we know that we can do that, we're not going to believe it in the moment of vulnerability when the choice is to take care of the human who's going to serve.
Yeah. Oh, it's so important, isn't it?
Yeah, so important.
So important, yeah. So that's why in our practice, we build such a solid relationship with the mentor. With the mentor, not with, you know, my favorite example, a voice in the head that tells us we're right. That is not the mentor, but the mentor who sees us as one expression of life amidst all the expressions of life, and and none is more important than the other. So as the Buddha left us, we're each working out our own salvation diligently, and that points at that center that is not egocentric on either side. So it's not selfish, and it's not sacrificing.
Yes. In fact, it's not selfish and it's not self-sacrificing, and the word self is the clue.
Yes, yes, that's true. There's a self in each one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Rochelle from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, hello, how are you?
Hey, Rochelle. I am doing well. You know, we live and breathe and swim in such grace that we're just almost never aware of just how wonderful life is. And so,
it is true. It is true. In the sense that we actually kind of can't grasp it, huh?
That is so it's almost invisible because it's present in every moment and everything. Everything we see and everything. And so I practice being grateful for all that grace.
Well, good.
Wow, yeah.
And it's not to say there isn't content that is causing struggles, but regardless of that, in that life is good.
Well, and that can be part of the grace. Right?
Yeah.
As we begin to see the difficulties, the struggles, the challenges as something that is opening us to more, to greater, to realizing that the grace is always there, is always holding us. That's a bizarre combination, but you
always,
know what I mean.
It's always available. It's there.
Yes, yes, yes. And so we have these challenges, and we turn to life to support us, nurture us, give us insight, help us through, and we realize, that's good. I'm so grateful that happened because
I was stuck there. I got to see that. Now I moved in this place where so much more is available.
Well, I am so glad to get on because, for me, this is in the middle of the workday, and Wednesdays are the only days that I have a possibility of even calling in, and so I'm just so excited. I feel like practice is hitting it out of the park. Every recording I listen to is for me and where I am. It is just eerie how much what is being said resonates with what's going on in my practice and in my life. And so I didn't have anything particular to say other than, oh, wow, this is wonderful. Keep going.
Well, and, you know, when you say that, in practice, we hear things like, we are one, right? Or I mean, in a lot of places, we hear that sort of thing. We are one. And what you're describing is such a tangible experience of that. Everything that everybody is looking at is what I'm looking at. There's not a darn thing anybody can say that anybody is dealing with that if I'm paying attention, I can't say, oh, yeah, me too. All right. Now, I might not have, so whatever is going on with you currently might not be going on with me currently in terms of content, but the process is something that certainly is going on with me in my life. And maybe when you talk about it, it brings it to the front of my conscious awareness. Now that's an opportunity for me to address it, deal with it, expand awareness. Yeah, we are one.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm on the East Coast, I'm looking at today's assignment, so I'm really excited about that too. So I won't spoil it for people who are just starting out, but I tell you, what a powerful workshop today.
Very good. All right. Well, I'm glad it's Wednesday. I'm glad you had a little break in your day, and we got to have you with us. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Rochelle.
Bye-bye.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
That's so true, right, Sherry, the swimming in the grace, that it's in everything. And that's why we want to be aware and pay attention, because if the attention is on that conversation, we never get to have the grace we swim in.
Yes. Yeah, we don't even know it's there. Right, and then we're told it's not because we're convinced that we should be looking somewhere at something that we're told is not grace. It is, but we're told it isn't, so we can't see it.
Yeah.
It's so big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that place of if we're paying attention, then everything everyone says or does assists us. You know,
yes.
That
well, I think in the
teacher.
Yeah, I think in the Musings article that's coming out at some point soon, the way it's stated is when we pay attention, everything enlightens us. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have 2 minutes, and I think maybe we go to the assignment, Sherry, because
sure.
I don't think we could bring on another caller. And it's a really powerful workshop.
I'm excited for what Rochelle said. I can't remember what it is, so I'm really excited to know what it is. What is it?
It's, as you look at many people's lives, you see that their suffering is in a way gratifying, for they are comfortable in it. They make their lives a living hell, but a familiar one. Ramdas.
Mm.
Today, take a look at some of the familiar suffering that has become comfortable. Practice dropping the conversation whenever you notice it and turn your attention to the sky, a tree, or something you love. Keep your attention here until you feel yourself come into presence. Create a new recording about your absolute commitment to ending suffering and your willingness to exchange a familiar hell for an unfamiliar but joyous alternative.
Mm. You know, since we have a minute or so, I think it was in this conversation, I heard myself say recently that quote from somewhere about children as compared to adults. really do want to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what Ram Dass is pointing at. And I think that that could be just a marvelous part of this assignment for us, without any self-hate at all, but to be in a conversation with the mentor, with life, being still and present, and look to see, is being happy, which is code for everything that we look at in life, right? Especially not suffering. Do I really want that? Am I really committed to that? Is that first on my agenda? Or, in fact, do I continue to give a great deal of my time and attention and energy to the familiar, comfortable suffering?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So kind of a soul-searching moment of I might say this, but what am I actually doing? So if we stop listening to what we hear in conditioned mind and really look at our choices through the day, am I choosing happiness and gratitude and presence, or am I choosing to be lost in an ego familiar hell?
Yes. Yes. And it's almost like the reverse, that we want to expand the awareness to know grace. We want to expand the awareness to know all of those places where we're choosing conditioning, even though we say we want to be awake.
Yes. Yeah. This is a powerful day, isn't it? And it could, you know, that kind of quote, ego's going to go, well, that's a downer. But no, it's not. Not for the heart, it isn't. Because that's where we want to look. That we want to really check out our choices.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if we do, then what's going to happen? This is something I invite people to watch for and then tell us about. If we do, that still small voice is going to say, "You don't have to be doing this."
Mhm.
Mhm. Right. You don't have to be indulging this. You could come back and look at the sky.
Mhm.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thank Deep Gasho once again for showing up every morning.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Take care.
Go happy.